Goran Park, 2 Shaboom and 11 Acquiescent in a photo finish. Shaboom near side, Acquiescent far side. It's also close for third place. Tight between Nidra and 10 Sindaya.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Let me update you on the promos that are coming up because there is a match bet promo today. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook. We'd love to have you stop on by, take advantage of that. That is here at the Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Yesterday, the Play the Board contest. And if you were watching yesterday, you saw, and on the one sheet, I had the Mott $53 winner on top. And that was the Play the Board race that needed a win bet. During the day, you're making a place bet, a win bet, a double bet, an exacta bet, and a triple bet. And that was the win bet race. And so I had the $53 horse on top. That's two out of the last three that I would have won if I could have been in. So you're lucky I'm not in. I will say, the five times I tried it before that, I completely whiffed. So it's probably just as well that I'm on the sidelines. But I can't officially play. But I do, typically, it's fun. The Play the Board handicapping contest, it's relatively new. I would say no more than 3 months or so, maybe. But as I say, you make some different plays during the day on the entry sheet, and they're assigned races for each of the types of bets, and you can win a little extra money during the afternoon. So, keep your eyes open for the return of the Play the Board handicapping contest. As I say, it's a lot of fun. Coming up over the next week on Thursday, we will have another Pick 4 bankroll coming up online, so check out the website for your opportunity to perhaps get on the bankroll team. Friday and Saturday, we'll have a pick and putt promotion. Those are always a lot of fun. We have a little putting green out in the front half of the Clubhouse Racebook, and we've tied them into some of the big golf tournaments this year. Upcoming is the U.S. Open. So Friday and Saturday, if you come down, folks get randomly selected throughout the afternoon. You can step up to the putting green and try to sink a putt for some money. There are a few different options. You know, there's a couple of holes up top with some money, and there's a big kind of bunker area you can land in for a consolation prize. So pick and putt promotion next Friday and Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Also Friday, the bounty bet will return, so keep that in mind. We'll update you on all of this as the week progresses. As usual, top of a Sunday show, I will recap some of the stakes action. I'm actually going to go back and look at some things from last week, too, because it was a little light, frankly, on the stakes side of things here and this across the country yesterday. We'll see a couple from yesterday, the Dancing Renee in New York and the Old Forester during the nighttime card at Churchill yesterday. But otherwise, there were some stakes races that might have snuck under the radar a little bit. And so I'll show those because, again, they'll play into summertime stakes races at the various venues. And also we'll do just a quick little preview of Royal Ascot coming up because that's going to be some nice racing. Five great days of racing every year over in England, the top level of racing. Every day there's a big race and they kick it off grade one style every year. So that'll start on Tuesday. We'll have that available here on the network and via CapitalOTBBet.com. So we'll do a little preview there. A little bit later on, we'll do some handicapping. And then towards the end of the show, some news and some notes, and I'll take a look at yesterday, end of the show. I had a Monmouth segment planned, and I reached out and tried to get a Monmouth guest in. We couldn't work that out. We'll have somebody come in sooner rather than later as far as the Monmouth meet. But we will look at yesterday's Salvatore Mile and then a little preview as well of today's Pegasus, which features Mendaloon. But, again, going back to last week, the potential to float under the radar with all the great racing obviously in New York, but I did want to show the Monrovia from Santa Anita from last weekend. It was a grade two event, sprinting on the grass at 6.5 furlongs. I wanted to show this in particular because it was the seasonal debut of Venetian Harbor, who had shown so much promise in her career, ran second for our purposes up here in the test last year, ran second behind Gamin, but she had some nice wins as well in her career. 3 wins, 4 seconds in 8 starts, over $500,000 in the bank. She'd won the La Virginess out in Southern California. She won the Raven Run towards the end of last season at Keeneland. Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint, she wound up a disappointing 8th, but that was her only off-the-board finish. But came back in the Monrovia last weekend out at Santa Anita, grade 2 event, and again, returned to the grass. She started her career, her first start, was a turf sprint at Del Mar and had run an okay 2nd there. But subsequently, her dirt starts were so good that they didn't return to the turf. But that was the situation last weekend, getting back to the grass. She's going to be the number 7 horse here. Constantia, the 3, runs 2nd. Superstition runs 3rd. But again, Venetian Harbor, number 7. Mario Gutierrez and Richard Balthus. Getting it done here. The chart margin, 3.5 lengths. Kind of a lukewarm 2-to-1 favorite. A little surprising given the talent she had shown. The two horses running 2nd were pretty close in the odds. 5-to-2 and another 2-to-1 shot running 2nd and 3rd. Superstition, the 3rd place finisher, who was the 2nd choice, was coming out of a 2nd in a stakes race at Santa Anita, sprinting on the turf last time, had won a turf sprint stake back in February at Santa Anita. So again, maybe the lukewarm odds on Venetian Harbor were a little more that, you know, a horse like Superstition and Constantia were both bona fide turf sprinters, and Venetian Harbor was still a little bit of a question mark there. So, you know, you looked and said Venetian Harbor just may wind up to be the class regardless of the surface. You wound up with, a fair $6.40 in the Monrovia last week out of Santa Anita. We'll see what they do with Venetian Harbor going forward, because you win a turf sprint like that, your options are all over the place given what she's done. Again, she'd run decently in some two-turn stakes last year, running 2nd in the Fantasy, running 2nd in the Ashland, 1 behind Swiss Skydiver, 1 behind Speech. Sprinting, ran 2nd to Gamin in the test. The Raven Run was a 7 furlong, so she can kind of sprint or go 2 turns. They feel that there's some distance question marks, though, because she hasn't gone beyond a mile and a 16th. But now sprinting on dirt, sprinting on turf, and some of that 2-turn experience on dirt. Be interesting to see what the 4-year-old season holds for a Venetian Harbor. But it was a very good kickoff, certainly, last week in the Monrovia. Last week also, this was Sunday, excuse me, to kind of wrap up the Belmont Stakes weekend down in New York. And I wanted to show this also because, as I said earlier, there was the potential of looking at some of these stakes from last week to see horses that will be players in some stakes races we'll pay attention to as the summer progresses. And the Jersey Girl is 3-year-old filly sprinters. So I wonder, this is an ungraded stake, and I'm not saying for sure, but it wouldn't shock me if you saw Australasia or maybe Bella Sophia or Miss Brazil even show up in the test a little bit later this summer up at Saratoga for 3-year-old sprinters. But the Jersey Girl last week, 3-year-old filly sprinters going 6, and it will be Australasia getting it done under Joel Rosario at 4-to-1. Bella Sophia, 3-to-1, runs 2nd. The favorite at 4-to-5 was Miss Brazil, the number 5 horse. So a little bit of a disappointment from Miss Brazil coming off a big win prior and an optional claimer at 6.5 for Anthony Dutrow. And again, you can see Miss Brazil here is actually going to get nudged out as the winner goes by and gets nudged also for 2nd even. So winds up a little bit of a disappointing 3rd. But a nice late run there from Australasia for trainer Brad Cox. This is a horse that is now 6-for-6. And as I say, this was an ungraded stake. It was 6 furlongs as compared to the test 7 furlongs. But Brad Cox is going to have a lot of horses up at Saratoga this summer with the Churchill backstretch being closed down with the refurbishing coming on the turf course. So it wouldn't shock me if we see Australasia step into that kind of company. This is a Louisiana bred, started the career down at the fairgrounds in Delta Downs facing Louisiana bred, state bred competition. Went 4-for-4 down there, came up to Churchill and faced open optional claiming company before the race we just saw, won there. So came into that the race last weekend 5-for-5 and went 6-for-6 in a salty little field. Miss Brazil was a nice performer, had won the Ruthless earlier, had run second to Search Results in the Busher also. So that was a nice runner for Tony Dutrow. And Bella Sofia for Rudy Rodriguez also ran second, had won the career debut by 11 lengths with a nice 94 buyer figure. So those two also, as I say, wouldn't shock me to see those two show up in the test as well. But you would have to think, again, being Brad Cox and given his situation where he's going to be stabling and whatnot, I would think she would head up the turnpike and be at Saratoga this summer. And we'll see her in something up there, I would have to think. And it wouldn't shock me if those second and third place finishers were in the mix as well in Saratoga Stakes, perhaps the test. Also, on the filly and mare side, wanted to go back to midweek. We talked a little bit about this when we were in on Saturday doing, and on Wednesday doing OTB Live, because it's always fun to get a midweek stakes race. The Obeya, which is a prep for the big race down at Delaware, the Del Cap, a little bit later on. And, oh, they had a really good field set up. And then they had some early scratches and some weather turned the track sloppy. And so originally there was a field of 14. Some of them had run recently, and you didn't need a crystal ball to say there were, you know, one or two of those were going to come out. But it wound up getting scratch reduced down to a field of 7. Still, it was a pretty good field. Bajan Girl wound up after scratches to be underneath for actually it wound up to be my top pick after the scratches, and Bajan Girl was also the 6-to-5 favorite of the betting public. Bajan Girl is going to be the number 3. Number 10 is Dream Marie, and number 10 will wind up winning the race. Dream Marie, Miss Marissa, the number 8, runs second, and Market Rumor runs third. Dream Marie is a horse that, and you can see, comes and gets the lead there, and the chart margin will be 1¾ at 8-to-1. And this was a horse that had started the career with a lot of promise and tried the Kentucky Oaks last year and disappointed running 9th, but early in the career was running well in some of those Gulfstream 3-year-old filly stakes races. And so had shown some promise, hadn't quite lived up to it, but again, we're looking at a horse that has won about $250,000, came into the race last week with 4 wins and 4 seconds and 19 starts. All of that said, you look at the end of the season last year, the 3-year-old filly season, a win and a second in November and December, then stepped into stakes company as a 4-year-old down at Gulfstream. The inside information winds up 5th. The Royal Delta winds up 8th, beaten 42 lengths, and then lays off from February until May and comes back in a starter allowance and runs 5th by 16. Now, was facing the boys there, I suppose you could make that case, but you look at the last three races, 5th, 8th, 5th, by a total of what, 60 lengths? It was hard to pull the trigger on Dream Marie, but if you looked up at the board and you thought 8-to-1 was fair on that, to me, that was not. But, in the 7-horse scratch-reduced field, maybe you could have made a case. There was some back class there to go with. To me, the race maybe fell apart a little bit. So we'll see. Again, this is typically a prep for the Del Cap, and I haven't seen, but we'll see how many of these come back and show up in that next month. But I'm not sure this is going to be a barometer that's going to tilt you towards the Obeya runners going into the Del Cap. It seemed like, a race that maybe fell apart a little bit. And good luck to you. Good luck to them if they show up in the Del Cap. But we'll see. I won't be shocked. You win the Obeya, the first, certainly the winner, but first 1, 2, 3 finishers probably takes their shot in there. But as I say, I'm not sure I'm coming out of that race with much confidence going into the big one in a few weeks. Again, there were a couple of races yesterday we will look at as well. And one of those is the Dancing Renee. State-bred fillies and mares, four-year-olds and up. And I was in doing the handicapping show yesterday, OTB Live, talked about this one and said, Sadie Lady, it just looks like she's the speed. She's going to blast out of the gate. She's going to take them all the way around. That's the way I saw it. Fierce Lady, the number one horse, Brian Edo on the handicappers report yesterday, thought maybe there was enough speed that it would set things up for Fierce Lady. Well, it did underneath, but Sadie Lady did get out and really take them all the way around under Jose Ortiz. Sadie Lady, the number five horse here. Surprisingly, Fierce Lady wound up the 6-5 choice. So as the second choice, Sadie Lady gets it done on the front end pretty easily here. As you can see, the chart margin winds up to be 1.5, but it's one of those where I don't know whether you're really ever thinking the horse is going to get beaten. Sadie Lady gets it done. Robert Taras, and as I say, Jose Ortiz. Luis Saez on Fierce Lady does manage second with the 6-5 favorite. And I was surprised at the way the odds shook out. Because Sadie Lady on the morning line was the 2-1 favorite. There was a scratch, so it's a scratch-reduced field of 5. Fierce Lady, who was 6-1 on the morning line, goes off as the 6-5 favorite. And again, the scratch, 5-2, was a horse that probably was going to take some money. But it was not a scratch that you saw flipping the odds the way that happened by the time they got into the gate. Because, again, it was hard to use the crystal ball and see Fierce Lady going off as the favorite. But the betting public, maybe they were watching the morning show and took a little advice from Natto and put that one on top. But Sadie Lady does wind up getting it done. The way it looked, I mean, if you looked at the past performances, unless you felt there would be a little challenge, but Sadie Lady just blasted out and took them all the way around there. So if you like Sadie Lady, you got a little extra value there. Perhaps, and not much. It was $4.90, but second choice, which, as I say, I found a little bit surprising. And finally, on the stakes agenda from yesterday, last night went off a little after 10 o'clock, the Mint Julep. We will watch the stretch run here, and it will be number one, Minted, getting it done for Brendan Walsh and Ricardo Santana. Chart margin winds up to be 0.5 length, 12-1. Juliet Foxtrot goes off as the 1-2 favorite. The number two horse for Brad Cox coming out of a win in the Jenny Wiley to start the season. And as you can see there in the Judmont colors, does get run down by Minted. Running third will be, she's on the warpath, but she's a little more than a couple lengths back in third. So Minted gets it done in an upset. At $27.20, Juliet Foxtrot, again, at 1-2, a little bit disappointing, coming out of the nice win last time to run second. But, as I said earlier, the races that we were going to look at this morning would have some implications going forward, and clearly they will with these kind of connections. You know, Brendan Walsh with Minted, a horse that now, since arriving in the United States, 3 wins, on the turf in 5 starts since arriving in the United States, and you know the nice stakes win last night at Churchill. So we'll see where that one goes. You know, again, wouldn't shock me Saratoga. Certainly Juliet Foxtrot. You would expect a Saratoga potential being a Brad Cox Judmont runner, but there are plenty of options as well for that one as the season progresses into the summertime. But they will. They both of those horses will be worth watching as the summer moves along, regardless of the venue they show up at. Wanted to give you just a little bit of a preview on Royal Ascot. Again, it'll kick off on Tuesday and run through Saturday as usual. And lots of great group action, group one action. There are some Breeders' Cup win and you're in races. 4 of the races are win and you're in races. The Queen Anne, the Prince of Wales, the Norfolk, and the Diamond Jubilee are all win and you're in Breeders' Cup races. So the week will clearly have some Breeders' Cup implications and worth paying attention to just on that fact, but also worth paying attention to because they're fun to bet and fun to watch. The highest quality. I mean, Saratoga to me is my favorite meet, and I think overall that's probably one of the highest quality meets you're going to see in the world, given the 7.5 weeks it is now, but stakes virtually every day and the number of grade ones and whatnot. But if you're talking quality start to finish to cram into 5 days, the group races they have at Royal Ascot, I think this is the highest quality meet in the world, you would have to think. And it kicks off, as I said, 9:30 on Tuesday morning with a Group 1 race, 9:30 our time, with the Queen Anne Stakes, which again is a Breeders' Cup winning your in race. We'll take a look here at Keeneland going back to April 15th. We'll see Coffee Maker get it done for Wesley Ward. And Wesley Ward has been very successful going over to Royal Ascot, and he brought 9 over, 8 are going to run in the Royal Ascot meet. One is going to detour over to France, but Coffee Maker will be one of the runners. Coffee Maker will show up in the Coventry, and Coffee Maker, again, we're seeing, this is the career debut just a few weeks ago, April 15th. Coffee Maker, the number 5, wins pretty easily in here. Coffee Maker is going to try to become the first filly to win this race since 1917. So Wesley Ward kind of has brought runners over there for a few years now and has done some special things over there. He's going to try it again with Coffee Maker in the Coventry. And so, again, that just adds some fun. And there are a few American runners that are going to go over, and they'll be fun to watch and root for as they are every year at Royal Ascot. Coventry is Tuesday morning. It's the second race. Our time, it'll be 10:05. So again, you can see if Coffee Maker steps out of that debut victory at Keeneland and can win the Group 2 over at Royal Ascot as a filly beating the boys. So it's going to be fun to watch and root for that one. And I wanted to show, because it is a sprint, I wanted to show the entire Al Quaz. So you can see Extravagant Kid. Extravagant Kid and Maven are going to be contenders in the King's Stand. Again, one of the big races over there that's fun to watch and fun to root for. Typically, you'll have some Americans in there. And so, as I say, given that it is a short turf sprint, I asked the guys to pull up the entire race over in Dubai earlier to see Extravagant Kid go over and get it done. So we have the race and the call. The Al Quaz a little bit earlier this year. Extravagant Kid was the winner, and the Brendan Walsh trainee will be back this week in the King's Stand. So let's take a look at that. We'll come back and add some more. This is, again, the Al Quaz Extravagant Kid from a little bit earlier this year.
Just about ready now. Ready for the Al Quaz. They're off and racing and getting a little squeeze out of the start there with Space Blues coming across in the early stages. True Valor showing plenty of speed up on the inside. Cowan going forward. Next is Space Blues as they settle down. Extravagant Kid speaking colours. Kadem is out in the middle of the track and dropping back Motor Farwit and Final Song. So out in the middle of the track, we've got Equilateral leading that division with Man of Promise up on the outside. They were followed by Royal Crusade. And next of all, as they come through halfway, is a Mosquilla down towards the halfway marker of the race, and Equilateral out wide looks to have the race well within its mercy here. After it is a Man of Promise coming on the outside. They were followed by Royal Crusade, then Cardem. Mosquilla is running on from a long way back. Aklam Express is pretty well solo over on the far side of the track, but Man of Promise drove through, went to the front of Equilateral, finishing on his Royal Crusade. They were followed by Extravagant Kid. Aklam Express is over on the rail side. The leader is Man of Promise, kicking back strongly. Equilateral. Extravagant Kid for the USA is bursting through, and Final Song is late. Extravagant Kid hit the front. Extravagant Kid wins it. Final Song second. Aklam Express third. They were wide apart. They were followed by Motor Far With. Then came True Valor. Equilateral close up with a Man of Promise, and not far away to us, if hit the line, was a Royal Crusade. Then Space Blues. Cowan was over on the far.
Again, a nice win in Dubai earlier this year for the Brendan Walsh-trained extravagant kid. He'll be back in the King's Stand at Royal Ascot, as will Maven from Wesley Ward. Tune in. We'll have a Royal Ascot here on the network. You'll be able to bet CapitalOTVBet.com. Let me just run down the 5 days of group stakes races. Just talked about three of them here on opening day. Tuesday will kick off. You love this. I mean, as I say, this is a high-quality meet. How many race meets start with a Group 1 race or a Grade 1 here in this country? But the Queen Anne kicks things off 9:30 on Tuesday morning. Four-year-olds and up going a mile on the turf. The Group 2 Coventry, as I said, Coffee Maker will be in there on Tuesday. Group 1 King Stand, that's where Extravagant Kid will run. That's also a Tuesday race. And the St. James's Palace for three-year-olds and up going a mile on the turf. That will also be Tuesday. Wednesday features the Group 2 Queen Mary for two-year-old fillies sprinting on the turf. The Group 2 Queen's Vase, three-year-olds going a mile and a half on the grass. The Duke of Cambridge, another Group 2 race. Fillies and mares going a mile on the grass. And the Group 1 Wednesday, the Group 1 Prince of Wales, four and up going a mile and a quarter on the turf. Thursday, it's the Group 2 Norfolk for two-year-olds sprinting on the turf. And again, we'll look for Wesley Ward. The Group 2 Ribblesdale, three-year-old fillies going a mile and a half on the turf. And set your sand dial, set your sand timer for Thursday, the Group 1 Gold Cup, 2.5 miles on the turf. Stradivarius will be back in, obviously, so Gold Cup will be fun on Thursday. Friday features the Group 3 Albany for two-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs. The Group 2 King Edward for three-year-olds and geldings going a mile and a half on the turf. The Group 1 Commonwealth on Friday for three-year-old colts and fillies going 6 furlongs. And the Group 1 Coronation for the three-year-old fillies going a mile. And finally, Saturday, things wrap up. The Grade 3 Jersey for the three-year-olds going 7 furlongs. The Group 2 Hardwick, 4 and up, 1.5 miles. And the Group 1 Diamond Jubilee winds up the group competition at Royal Ascot Saturday. 4 year olds and up going 6 furlongs on the turf. And sometimes you'll have some horses that will run day one and will still show up in that Diamond Jubilee. I don't know the last couple of years where we've had that necessarily, but it has happened. And that certainly adds a little intrigue as well. If you haven't seen John Velasquez over the past few days, he had a few days to serve as suspension, which pretty much, I'm just pulling up the article here. Yeah, you know, raced Belmont Stakes Day and then started his three-day suspension the next day. So he's been serving the suspension, but you won't see him because he's hopping a plane and heading over to Royal Ascot. He'll be on some of the Wesley Ward horses, John Velasquez, at Royal Ascot. So that's fun, too. It's fun to root for the American trainers, the American horses, and you get an American jockey jumping on board some of those horses. That adds to the fun as well. But as I say, it's the highest quality of racing, so it's fun from that aspect. They're nice competitive fields. Typically, there's some nice big fields put in there, and it's just fun to be able to watch and root for the Americans at the highest level of international racing. That's Tuesday through Saturday, Royal Ascot. You can see it here in the mornings on the network, so make sure to tune in for that. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping for this afternoon, and then a little bit later, we'll also recap yesterday's Salvatore Mile upset and preview the Pegasus from Monmouth as well. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on Capital OTB TV. And yes, Capital OTB TV is available on Roku. And I say it all the time after that commercial. You may be watching here locally, but if you have friends who come into the area during Saratoga and they like and watch Capital OTB and say, hey, wish we had that this in our neighborhood, remind them. They can fire up the Roku stick now. And I think the Amazon Fire, too. But you check out the RTN app, and Capital OTB is available. We've gotten some email. Amazingly, we went on the app, Roku and whatnot, just before New Year's. And the day we went on, or the next day, there was like three emails of, hey, we're watching on Roku, from people of other parts of the country. But since then, there have been a number of tweets and emails. And one just the other day, somebody was watching OTB on Roku, and so it has become kind of popular. I think folks like to watch the morning programming, and it's a little bit of a different aspect in the afternoon with the handicapping show, where I'm looking at a few different tracks. I've talked to people even in this area that watch, and with the quad screen we do, you know, they can kind of keep track of four different tracks at one time, and so it offers a little bit of a different opportunity as well. But as again, remind people that maybe outside the area that they can watch us via Roku. All right, we will take a look at some action for this afternoon. And again, I haven't pulled up scratches yet. I don't know if they'll be available at this time. But I'm going to look at the late pick five at Belmont. And again, I'm not putting a ticket together necessarily. I'm just giving you some ideas on that late pick five, which kicks off this afternoon. In the fifth race at Belmont, $30,000 conditional claimers, going 6 furlongs on the turf. Got a root for our friends Eddie F's up in Saratoga. They have the number 11 litter box in there. I didn't pull that one in, but the Gary Siaka trained runner, second off the claim, does get back probably to the comfort zone price wise. So at a price, I wouldn't argue you off the Eddie F's runner, but I have it 8, 5, 4, and 1. Number 8 is Hard Count, goes out for Rob Falcone off some numbers over the past few starts that are okay, like other Falcone horses that we've seen over the past month or so. This one spent the winter with him out in Southern California. Came back to New York last time and showed a little punch early before fading to fifth, but a close-up fifth. And this horse has some early speed, was showing it out at Santa Anita, showed it again for the most part last time, now cuts back in distance and cuts price as well. You know, the cutback on turf as compared to dirt typically isn't as potent. I just thought the scenario of this one, in some form, has a little bit of positional early speed. The cutback and the price drop, getting 5-1. I think we'll get some value here for this one. So Hard Count on top for me. Second slot, I went with Knockout Punch. Was racing on the dirt this winter at Aqueduct, last race February 4th, before the comeback on April 29th. I thought the April 29th race was pretty good. Like the top pick, it was a fifth place finish. It was a close-up fifth place finish. I think it was one that you can build on, certainly a little comeback effort. Like the top pick, dropping a little bit price-wise, and this one did turf sprint last time. Top pick went a little longer and is cutting back, but this one, Knockout Punch, did turf sprint to that close-up fifth-place finish last time and has run well in turf sprints before. So again, second off a little bit of a layoff off a good performance that I think the horse can build on, getting 9-2 there, Knockout Punch in the second slot. And then Silver Token, it's Horacio DePez and Jose Ortiz. This one is a horse that hasn't been seen since last season. When last seen was going a little bit longer, but underneath, again, there are turf sprints. I do think turf sprinting is a specialty and concerns me a little bit about the top pick. But the other two, Knockout Punch and Silver Token, are more bona fide turf sprinters. And Silver Token does come off the layoff, but again, does have some turf sprints that are okay. Workouts certainly aren't jumping off the page at all. But the seasonal debut last year, November to July layoff last year, okay, third place finish. So we'll look for similar types of performance today. You know, it's a field where I could probably point to at least one or two others and have similar levels of confidence. But in the fifth at Belmont Sunday afternoon, I have an 8-5-4-1. Sixth race at Belmont. Again, that fifth race kicks off a late pick five. That means the sixth kicks off a late pick four. Again on the turf, again turf sprinting, state bird optional claimers. I have a 12-1-5-4. I'll go outside to Shiraz, Mike Maker trainee, Luis Saez on board. One start so far this season, that was back on the 16th of May. Ran a good second there. It was the kind that I think, again, can provide a foundation to move forward from. The numbers this horse has fired, underneath are clearly good enough if we get back to those. And given the performance in the first start of the year, I think a few points only needs a few points added to get back to some of those better numbers, which maybe give the horse a little bit of a slight edge here. So Shiraz on top, discretionary mark in the second slot, moves into the barn of Rob Atras. This one, again, one of those bona fide turf sprinters that I like. Not necessarily a win machine by any means, but over the Belmont turf, seven exacta finishes in 12 starts. All of that said, last year and this year combined, no wins in 10 starts, but I think it's going to be an okay fit with this bunch. Last two starts have been in similar company. Two back ran a good second. Last time was sixth after having led fairly late, was behind the top pick Shiraz in that race when they came under the wire. But again, I just think this one may be a little bit intriguing in here today. Castellano back on board. I thought he's been riding well over the past couple of days. So discretionary mark, second slot. And then Valmont and Call Me Harry. I was kind of going back and forth with both of those, but I wound up in the third spot landing on Valmont for Ray Handel, who coming out of, like the top two, coming out of that race on May 16th, Shiraz was second, discretionary mark was fifth, Valmont was actually fourth in there. So, you know, if I'm kind of liking those two, kind of have to like Valmont as well. So for me in the sixth at Belmont, 12-1-5-4. In another race where I probably could have pointed to another two and, again, had similar levels of confidence. That this pick five sequence starts with a couple of races that I think have the potential to at least offer some value to start things out in the sequence. Seventh race, starter allowance, 6.5 furlongs of the trip. In the seventh, I have it 8-7-3-2. Barista Vixen on top. Popular at the claim box the last couple of starts. Claimed two starts back away from Bill Mott and two Wayne Potts. Claimed last time from Wayne Potts. Now goes to Danny Gargan. Of course, Gargan very good off the claim. And this one also in very good form because both of those races the horse was claimed from, won both of them. They were conditional claimers. This is a starter allowance, so theoretically a saltier race. But I just thought in the form this horse is in, the last couple of numbers this horse has fired, as compared to this bunch, I think Barista Vixen is still in a good slot here today off the claim for a trainer who, again, is very good off the claim. Cato de Pay in the second spot. Nice win, two back, claimed out of that one, moved into a starter allowance and ran second with an improved buyer number, and that buyer number stacks up with this bunch today. Danny Gargan also has Hollywood Gina. only two starts under the belt. The debut effort on the turf last October against Maiden Specials was not good, but then came back in February on a sloppy track, faced Maiden Claimers, and won pretty easily. So given what we've seen, this horse is kind of a mystery. An absolute dud against Maiden Specials, a nice win against Maiden Claimers, now is in a starter off a little bit of a layoff. So again, a little bit of a head-scratcher for this one. Interesting that Danny Gargan had this one working down at Keeneland most recently, returns to New York, and I just, you know, given the win last time, I don't think you can leave it out of the mix. And Calabogue Sound in the fourth spot, another one that won the a Maiden Claimer last time. For this one, it was the career debut, was claimed out of that race by Rudy Rodriguez, and going to be interesting to see what the both the two and the three are kind of mysteries, given they're lightly raced and undefined at this point. But I think they're both horses you could play around with and you know, in the picks and whatnot, and have a little amount of confidence in, at least given what we saw from both of them last time. In the seventh race, 8-7-3-2. Race number 8 at Belmont Park, optional claimer, non-winners of two other than in the 8th. They're going to be on the grass at a mile and a 16th. I have it 1-7-2-8, Platinum Painter on top. Stepping out of some stakes company most recently where the horse was running decently. Two starts back, a close-up second. Last time, a third. Last time was in a grade 3 behind Harvey's Little Goyle, who, of course, is very talented. So I think stepping back into the more proper non-winners of two other than boost this horse. Leaves from the rail, has plenty of early speed. Maybe the catch-me-if-you-can player in this race. California Queen in the second slot. It's Chad Brown, European import that hasn't shown much in the first couple here in the United States. But like the top pick, those two starts were in stakes company. So I think this horse is finding a little bit of relief here today. Blinkers on, Lasix added. It is Chad Brown. I think there are plenty of things to like. This may wind up being the horse to beat. Dragontea in the third slot. Another European import, but unlike California Queen, this one's already been successful for Christophe Clément. First start in the United States, nice win. It was non-winners of one other than, however. So this group, particularly with the two that I mentioned coming out of stakes company, may be a little saltier than she faced last time. But I think given what we've seen, have to have that one in consideration as well. The 8th at Belmont on Sunday afternoon, 1-7-2-8. And we wrap it up Sunday afternoon, race number 9. Maiden 40 claimers going 7 on the grass. 6-2-9-10 for me, although as I got down to the bottom of the mix, Barkley Tags Welshman, the number 7, was also intriguing. 15-1 on the morning line. If the 7 is offering some value, I wouldn't sleep on that one, particularly in some of the exotics or whatnot. But I put number 6 on top, Caribbean Gold. Seasonal debut was a decent little third after having shown some speed. And again, given that it was the debut, that speed I think may be more potent and last a little longer today. Last time was the beaten favorite at 6-5. So we'll look for this horse to benefit from that first start of the year. Centurion in the second slot, third start back. Nice improvement, start 1 to start 2 for Jimmy Jerkins. Any further improvement, and I don't think that's out of the question, this one becomes a contender. And then Elston, the number 9 horse, you know, this kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. Last seen in June of last year, so on the sidelines just a little over a year. The career debut was pretty good. Comes back as a new gelding. Workouts look pretty good, like the horse should be ready to roll. And this is the kind I've talked about a number of times. Lightly raced, they get a break like this, they come back. Sometimes they come back better. This one's also getting some class relief. Joel Rosario on board in a turf sprint. Elston's a player also. So in the 9th race at Belmont, 6-2-9-10, with the 7 deserving a little bit of a look at the price. All right, that gives you an idea, or some ideas, in that late pick 5 at Belmont. If you're putting a ticket together, maybe one or two of those are worth dropping in the mix. And allowing you to cash a ticket. That's what we hope. We'll, of course, be back later this afternoon looking live at those races as well for OTB Live, so we'll look for you then. But now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll do a little Monmouth commentary, take a look at yesterday's Salvatore Mile, and a little preview of today's Pegasus, which features Mandaloons. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
It's a photo finish, it's too close to home.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. As always, thanks for joining us. Summertime weather has hit the area. Boy, we had real summertime weather those 90s beginning of the week, but now it's gotten comfortable and looks over the next week or so like nice kind of summerish weather that certainly will be comfortable and playing into any outdoor activities you would have. For the most part, there were a couple of sprinkles it looked like over the next 7 days or so, and we'll knock wood and hope that that kind of nice sunny warm weather holds for another few months, gets us through the Saratoga meet in fine fashion. Everybody's looking forward to it. I've said over the last few days here on the network, just walking around town, people coming up, and people are ready. I'm totally intrigued to see what opening day and opening week is like. I was talking with our marketing guy, Shannon, the other day, and we were both commenting. It's still people in their mind, it's the August place to be. It picks up when August comes, it seems like, even with now the middle of July start. Still plenty of people come, but it really picks up. And I think a lot of people, it's just summertime, early on, hey, we're going to our camp or we're doing this or that. So it still really seems to rev up when August rolls around. But I'm going to be very intrigued to see this year. With a year off, I think people are revved up and raring to go. And so opening day and those opening few weeks going to be very intrigued to see how it plays out up there, because I know I'm looking forward to it. You're looking forward to it. Everybody I've talks to is looking forward to it. All right, let's get to Monmouth Park yesterday, Salvatore Mile at 4-5. New York Traffic was the favorite, the deserved favorite, was coming off a seasonal debut, 103 buyer number, big win against State Breds in New York. The only time this horse had raced at Monmouth was a near-miss second behind Authentic in last year's Haskell. So, deserved favorite, deserved short-priced favorite. As they come out of the turn, New York Traffic is going to be ahead. And I thought about midway on the turn, they were going to turn for home and he was just going to pull away, and he doesn't. And at this point, I thought, top of the stretch, I thought, oh, it might get swallowed up by a few of them. Well, to his credit, he keeps going, but can't hold off the huge long shot here on the inside. New York Traffic, again, does hold for second. Nobody winds up making up ground, even though at the top of the stretch it looked like that was going to happen, except for the winner there, number five, Informative. Number five, Informative, I'm just looking to see if, yes, the longest shot on the board, 79-1, $161.60, gets it done. Under Jose Ferrar, Uriah St. Louis trains, and they upset in a huge way the Salvatore Mile yesterday. New York traffic, that was a little bit disappointing for New York traffic. Again, around the turn, I thought I was just going to ease away from the field. Now, again, I give them credit in that there were a few strides at the top of the stretch where I thought, I don't know, maybe wind up fourth in here. The field is kind of getting to him. And he did hold them off. I mean, he was still a length and ahead of the third place finisher when they came under the wire. So I give him credit there. And I have not seen a buyer figure for the race. Be interested to see what that turns out. But boy, nice win for Informative at the huge price. Informative came out of a second place finish at Pimlico last time, and trainer Uriah St. Louis said after the race, you know, he had all kinds of trouble. The trainer felt, had trouble in the Pimlico race prior, traffic trouble. He thought he should have won that race pretty easily. So he was coming out of a second there. Just prior at Parks, he had run fourth, fifth, and sixth. So deserved price. Maybe the 79 to 1 maybe was a little long. I'm not sure. It would have been hard to pull the trigger on Formative in there, particularly to foresee that, you know, it was a length victory. And he was coming pretty well down the stretch. And New York traffic is legit. So, again, hats off to the connections there. And I looked it up yesterday when I was doing the live show, because I remember Uriah St. Louis, it was just within the past. And sure enough, 2018, he upset the Jockey Club Gold Cup with Discreet Lover at 45 to 1. So the trainer starting to earn maybe a reputation for upsets as far as nice stakes races. But he certainly upset yesterday's Salvatore Mile with Informative, $161. Today, however, boy, if there's an upset in here, I think it's going to be hard to imagine. Let's take a look at the stretch run of the Kentucky Derby. Medina Spirit will win. I'm going to avert my eyes from the screen because I was all over Mandaloon, and the entire stretch I thought Mandaloon was going to go by. It's at a nice price, 26 to 1, and I thought, I'm going by. Just never gets by. But coming off of this big second place finish in the Kentucky Derby, which may be elevated to a win in the Derby given the Medina Spirit situation. But Mandaloon 3 to 5 on the morning line. I think the horse is going to tick down significantly from that. You know, I don't think 1 to 9 is out of the question. 1 to 5 certainly. We'll see. But Mandaloon, I think, has an edge on this bunch. Going to be interesting to see, though, how he comes back and comes out of that Kentucky Derby performance. Using this Pegasus this afternoon at Monmouth as a stepping stone to the Haskell. The Pegasus today, race 10 at Monmouth, goes off about 4:50, so mark that on your calendar, set your timer, tune back into the network. It's only a field of five. Weyburn is the morning line second choice at 7-2. That one won the Gotham for Jimmy Jerkins and then wound up fourth behind the upsetters Bourbonic and Dynamic One in the Wood Memorial. Hasn't been seen since the Wood. Decent bullet work, a 59 flat last time. Or June 6th, so, that possible upsetter, I suppose. Brooklyn Strong, I talked a little bit about this race yesterday, maybe on the afternoon show. I was looking forward to the three-year-old season for this New York bred after the win in the Remsen. The Remsen win last year had him 3-for-4 as a two-year-old, but then had some setbacks, and so wasn't able to come back until the Wood Memorial. Boy, that was a tough place to come back. Winds up fifth in there. They continue on to the Kentucky Derby and wind up 15th in there. So I just think a couple of tough spots for Brooklyn Strong. And I don't know whether this is the confidence builder I would want if I had Brooklyn Strong either. I think I would be looking. Let's find a spot and get a confidence builder, and facing Mandaloon in here I don't think is exactly what I would be looking for. But that again, if you're looking for possible upsetters, Dr. Jack for Todd Pletcher is 2-for-2 so far. This is going to be the stiffest test of the career. But again, if you're looking for possible upsetters, but I think Mandaloon probably has an edge on the bunch. Just before I came on the air, I pulled up some of the trainer and jockey stats from a little trio of tracks here. It's always fun and informative to take a look as you get into meets of trainers and jockeys that are maybe worth paying more attention to, or, you know, figuring in your handicapping. And Belmont, still a few weeks to Belmont. The Belmont meet ends on July 11th. Currently leading jockey, Jose Ortiz, but he's only one over his brother. And Irod will be back in a few days, so we'll see how that plays out amongst the Ortiz brothers. But Jose has 37 wins so far at Belmont, Irod 36, Manny Franco 34. Then you drop down to Joel Rosario 26 and Jose Lascano with 20. But up at the top, the two Ortiz brothers and Manny Franco on the jockey side. On the trainer side at Belmont, Chad Brown has a nice edge. He's got 26 wins over Christophe Clement with 18, Robert Ross with 15. Then you drop down to a tie at 12, Pletcher, Wesley Ward, and Mike Maker with 12, Bill Mott with 11. So pretty much the familiar and expected names, both jockeys and trainers at Belmont. Over at Churchill Downs, their meet ends on June 26th. Currently on the jockey side of things, Tyler Gaffleone with a nice edge. Tyler Gaffleone, 36 winners over Ricardo Santana, 22. Flo Joe, Florent Giroux with 21. And Brian Hernandez with 19. So, again, currently some pretty good separation as we are really in the waning weeks of the Churchill meet between Tyler Gaffleone and Ricardo Santana at 1-2. On the trainer side of things, a little closer there, down at Churchill, Brad Cox has 16 winners, Mike Maker 14, Chris Hartman 13, Brendan Walsh 12, Asmussen and Amos tied at 11. So, you know, going down to a tie for fifth, we're only five wins separated from the top spot. But Brad Cox currently on top. But as I say, you know, with it, we're winding down, so five wins starts to magnify as we get to those last few days. But there's still enough time for gaps like that to be closed. The meet ends on June 26th. And I was curious, you know, this time of year we don't focus as much on Gulfstream, but I know a lot of folks like to play Gulfstream all year long. So I was just curious. And summertime at Gulfstream has clearly changed over the last few years, with some of the bigger names keeping some horses there all year long. So I was just curious as to how things were shaking out down at Gulfstream. Jockey side is pretty tight. And this meet, which started right after the championship meet on April 1st, and this summertime, spring summertime meet goes through September 26th. So there's still 3 months left, plenty of time. But with couple of months under our belts. Jockey side of things down at Gulfstream, Edgar Zayas with 58, MSCL Jaramillo with 56, so a couple of wins there, Edwin Gonzalez 54, and then it drops off after that. So Zayas, Jaramillo, and Gonzalez fighting it out on top, with separated by couple wins first to second, couple wins second to third, so close battle there on the jockey side. But I was interested to see also the trainer side. As I say, some more prominent names. Do keep horses there now. Really no surprise, though, on top. And on top by a wide margin, Safi Joseph, currently at this Gulfstream meet, 40 wins on top. Mark Cassie with 15. So 40 wins versus 15. Safi Joseph running away with things early. As I say, there's a lot of time left in this meet, but that's a pretty significant edge. Safi Joseph first, Mark Cassie second, Carlos David third, Juan Carlos Avila fourth, and George Jorge Delgado fifth in there. Antonio Sano underneath there. Just looking down at any other notables. Pletcher, six wins, only started 34, but he seems to keep some horses down there now too at Gulfstream. So again, just update you on the human side of things, it's some of the tracks I'm sure people are paying attention to right now. All right, I will wrap it up. Let me pull up our promo sheet again today. Once again, there's a match bet promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, watch the horse racing action here at the Racebook with us. Maybe grab a little lunch, enjoy the races, and give a shot to the match bet promotion. Maybe win a little extra money. Don't forget, later this week, there is a Pick 4 bankroll on Thursday. You can check out the website for your opportunity to get on the bankroll team on Thursday. And Friday and Saturday, we'll have the pick and putt promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook in honor of the U.S. Open. Come on down Friday and Saturday, put your name in the bin. if you get randomly selected. You step up to the putting green. If you sink a putt, you can win some dough. That's Friday and Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. This has been Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, I appreciate your tuning in. Don't forget, during the week, you can check out our podcast Monday through Friday, The Daily Report. It shows up on the Capital OTV media, social media channels, usually about 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, so you can check that out as well. Otherwise, as far as the morning programming, I will be back in next Saturday morning with more Racing Across America. In the meantime, I will be back this afternoon, about an hour and a half or so, with OTB Live, looking at live racing and making some comments and looking at the odds and hopefully handing out some good information. That's always the game plan. So it'll be about an hour and a half for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.